If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift-giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
It took a lifetime to find the person you want to marry. Finding the perfect engagement ring is a lot easier. At BlueNile.com, you can find or design the ring you've always dreamed of with help from Blue Nile's jewelry experts who are on hand 24/7 to answer questions and the ease and convenience of shopping online. For a limited time, get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
The best way to support The Alarmist as we recover from the Eaton Fire is to join us on Patreon. Your subscription goes directly to us and helps us continue to make episodes. You can also make a one-time donation to our show by visiting the shop page on our Patreon. Link will be in the show notes. We appreciate The Alarmy during this time. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into The Alarmist. As you know, this is not our regular episode. We're just kind of doing a little update on our situation. For those of you who are our Patreon members, you can actually watch this episode. We'll be posting a video of the episode as well. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
Producer Amanda Lund.
Former producer. Don't worry, Clay. I'm not coming for you.
No, you're the queen. You're the what we all
OG.
Look up to.
OG. Yeah. I should say, yeah. And we've got our dogs as well who are joining us today.
In a new environment, a new background that people may not be used to.
Yeah. You know, we've had kind of it's been a month here at The Alarmist.
Yeah.
These are unprecedented times.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for including me in this, you guys. I think probably your entire base of listeners, The Alarmist that they are, have been keeping pretty up to date with all the horrible stuff going on in Los Angeles. And I'm sure a lot of The Alarmy has been checking in and reaching out. It's been crazy. Mm-hmm. And specifically crazy for Chris and Rebecca, as you guys have your home in Altadena. So I guess I'm kind of just here today to help facilitate this conversation and to kind of be the ears of the listeners and ask the questions people might be wondering about, like, what went down? How are you guys? And Clay, you've been, you know, in close proximity with Chris and Rebecca through a lot of this.
Indeed.
Yeah, we should walk them through how it all went down.
I think let's just start first with, like, checking in. Where is everyone? Where is everyone literally? Where is everyone mentally? Like, let's ground ourselves in where, like, today, right now, where are we all?
Well, we're not in Altadena right now. We're currently at an Airbnb in East LA, in a certain area called El Sereno. So as you can see, everyone is safe. We're all physically, everyone is fine. I would say I'm a little shook still. I think I'm a little bit in shock. It all happened very fast.
Yeah, we're here, and you guys are where you usually are, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm home.
You're in Pasadena.
Yeah, I'm in Pasadena, and Clay, you're in
Highland Park. very fortunate to still be in my home, and mentally, just, you know, kind of still kind of PTSD recovering.
I think just, you know, to say up front, like, Chris and Rebecca's house is still standing, but their neighborhood is completely decimated. So I'm sure people, I think you said something, you've been saying stuff on Instagram, but for anyone who isn't privy, hasn't been following that close, like, that is your situation. And it's a super difficult and super heartbreaking and complicated situation. Would you guys want to just kind of start from the beginning and kind of in alarmist fashion go through, like, the timeline of kind of what happened? And
here's what you need to know.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll play the music underneath because that feels a little
not yet.
No, too soon.
No.
Well, can we go back to, I guess
let's start to that morning. So a few days before the 7th, we started getting some emergency alerts.
High wind alerts.
Yes, high wind. Of course, as you can imagine, I'm signed up for all of the alerts in all of LA County, for whether it be, you know, weather related, you know, any criminal activity, everything. Yeah. So a few days before, they started saying, you know, it's going to be a lot of wind, and we're used to heavy wind. The Santa Anita winds are a common thing that happen, especially up in the mountain. Santa Anita is a different town.
Close to us. They have different winds there. Yeah.
Anita and Anna.
But if you don't know about these Santa Ana winds, I mean, they can be really strong. Mm. And I mean, you can get gusts up to like 60 miles an hour. And that's, you know.
That's regular, 60, 70. But these were like 100 mile an hour gusts, which is not constant. But as anyone knows, even a 70 mile an hour gust is really destructive and something that you have to prepare for.
Right. And, you know, this was this came with a fire warning, because I think an extreme fire warning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what they were saying. Yeah.
Which was because of the dry
vegetation,
hills and vegetation.
Yeah,
because it hasn't rained in LA for months. When was the last time it rained, other than
I think it was April of last year was the first time it was the last time it had rained before just this past weekend.
Right.
But it is, it's one of those things where this could have been a very different scenario had we gotten the seasonal rains early in January that we normally do before these winds came. But unfortunately, it was just like a real bad combination.
Altadena, for anyone who isn't familiar, is a town in the foothills, and some of it is like really up in the hills where there's bears, but then the rest of it, like where Chris and Rebecca have their home, feels like fairly flat, and it's very built, and there's businesses, and I mean there's lots of trees and vegetation, but it's not like up in the hill.
No, it feels like a transitional community because it really abuts Pasadena, which is just like city. You feel like you're in city when you're in Pasadena.
And I'm also live in a hilly neighborhood in Pasadena, a little bit west and south of Altadena, below the freeway, but we're in a fire zone. So we often have what's called red flag days. And we're very close to the Arroyo, which is very dry and with lots of heavy vegetation. So we are also in a fire zone, and we've had, you know, fire notices before, but I've never in my like wildest dreams thought like a fire could ever like actually get to us.
Right.
And you guys probably felt the same way where you are placed in Altadena.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. You know, we love Altadena because one of the reasons is because A, it has the best air quality in Los Angeles County because we're far from highways. We're sort of tucked into the mountain. And then B, nobody drives through Altadena because to drive through Altadena to the north, you hit the San Gabriel Mountains. Like there's nothing above us.
Right.
So you can't really drive through it. So those are the reasons we love it. And we have also had fire warnings before, but never evacuation notices. So when we got these warnings, Rebecca's alarm went off. And the morning of Tuesday, I remember we were taking a class, getting ready to go to an acting class that Clayton, Rebecca, and I had all we're all taking together. And before we went off to class, Rebecca was like, let's gather our
important documents
now in case we need to take them later. So
at this point, was there even a fire or it was
no there was nothing. This was not even windy yet. This was like pre-wind.
The wind hadn't started
yet. Yeah.
So of course, Rebecca, you were like a super early adopter of like
on brand
psychically thinking that something's going on, because like we were getting those too, and it never even occurred to me to like the city was burning to even like that it could reach us, you know.
Right,
so that where were you at, Chris? Were you kind of thinking like I should take
Chris, where were you
or
at?
I shouldn't.
I wouldn't say I was annoyed, but I will say I was like, we were collecting these papers and I was like, okay, it makes sense to grab our passports. Rebecca was like, let's get our deed of our house, the deed of our house that has our name sort of on our house. And I was like, well, doesn't the assessor have that information? Isn't it already in the cloud? Like, do we need that paper? Why do we need that paper? And that was like an extra 15 minutes of our morning was like looking for that deed.
Mm.
And there was a little bit of tension between us about that. And I was on the side of being like, come on.
Everything's online was your quote.
And also, you know, I was like, what's going to happen? You know,
right.
You know,
it's a little bit of denial, like a wishful thinking, like I don't want to have to go through this exercise because if I am going through it, it means it's actually possible, which is like kind of unfathomable.
And at that point, it's just winds. Like winds don't even sound that scary. Like, have you ever even done an episode on a wind event?
No.
Good question.
Like, you're kind of like, it's just winds. Like, what could happen? Turns out a lot can happen with winds.
But, you know, I'm from Florida, and for me, winds and rain hurricanes, and storms and hurricanes, like that to me is really scary.
Mm-hmm.
This was different. I feel like a windstorm is so different because you don't hear the rain. For some reason, when you put wind and rain, that's scary to people. But just the wind
doesn't scare enough
people. No, it doesn't. But they were saying we were going to get 100 mile per hour winds gusts. And I was like, well, that's hurricane level.
Right. It is.
So
it literally is.
So I knew in my mind that that's not normal.
I was flying a kite.
Yeah, really? Really? Wow.
No.
We took advantage.
I was at the park. I go, it wasn't that windy yet. I went down to the park and I got my kite out.
Oh my God, Amanda.
Just mocking the winds.
This fool over here flying a kite.
I think there was something, I mean, the warnings that came out were so extreme. I think they were really trying to like scare people and like, this is a worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Kind of once in a lifetime or like once in a generation event. And I do feel like there's a lot of denial. I mean, I remember Mike coming in like, there's going to be some crazy winds. Like, we have to move all the stuff off of the terrace. Like, we have our like wind prep mode. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like people being told to evacuate for a hurricane.
What and was they that, don't do that it. Weather event like a couple, like maybe a year ago that everyone was freaking out? It was some combo of words. Was it like
it was like almost a hurricane on the West Coast.
They called it like
a super bomb cyclone or something.
Oh, bomb cyclone.
Or was it like a tornado? People were calling it. It was like something crazy. Oh,
there happened to be an earthquake while it was happening. Remember that?
Yeah, but that one didn't really come to.
Right, like, exactly.
Canned goods and like. We got a generator out and it was like just some heavy rain for 24 hours and it was no big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people here know how to prepare for bad winds, but to your point, Amanda, it just feels like it's kind of unbelievable, but it's going to make it far in enough into like a thriving, dense neighborhood as far as like where the Smiths live. I think nobody really thinks that. And like, I think all of us suddenly are on the other side of that, like, oh God, like it could absolutely happen. And like, why were we so naive about it?
So, I mean, we ended up continuing our day. So we gathered all of our papers and I put them in a little tote that was like right by the door.
Right.
And we were going to an acting class that day. And our teacher is really adamant about turning off your cell phones during class. And I was very nervous about doing it. And I told Chris on our drive there because, you know, we were leaving the pets at home. I was like a little nervous. So I said, I'm going to secretly keep my phone on just so you know. Because if we get any kind of alert,
right,
I want to be able to know and to drive back and get all of our stuff.
Right.
So we went on with our day. It was a really nice day. Mm-hmm. We continued to, you know, we had plans. We didn't get any more alerts. And
down by where the class was, the wind was not as bad as it was in Altadena.
Although it was I do remember at the theater, the sign.
Yeah, there was some wind, but
the
it wasn't
sign
as bad.
Letters had fallen down for the people who were performing. And our friend Jacqueline was like picking up all the scattered letters. She couldn't find a few.
Yeah.
And No, go.
Really foreshadowing. All the letters came down. They scrambled. You are in danger, is what they spelled on the ground.
I'm glad that we let you get that in.
Yeah.
I almost interrupted, but I'm glad I let you get that in. I was going to say that at that time, my scene partner in this Chekhov class, because we were doing our scene that day, they live closer to the actual mountain, like hillside in Altadena.
Yeah, she's a neighbor of ours. You know, she lives in our neighborhood.
Yes, and she showed up being like, I had a really rough night. Like some of our shingles, because the winds were starting to pick up into Tuesday afternoon or morning. And she was like, like getting kind of nervous. And I remember that being like the first time of like, oh yeah, she's having a different experience being like mountainside than we are. But not, again, just kind of like,
Around this time, also the Palisades fire had broken out, I believe, already, but it wasn't huge yet.
Right.
So I know because Matt, my husband, was going in to do his Conan session. He produces the Conan podcast. And I forget who their guest was, but it was someone who lived in the Palisades and they had to cancel because of the fire. And I was like, oh, there's a fire in the Palisades. But I wasn't thinking it was like burning down houses. And I don't think it was yet.
I don't think it was, but I do remember after we got out of class around 2, I started to see news about the fire in the Palisades where people were running away from their car. You know, there were a lot of people who were starting to evacuate, and that was happening really fast. The evacuations were coming really fast, and some people had like literally left their cars because there was traffic trying to get off, you know,
PCH, I think. Or
yeah, PCH. Yeah. I think there must have been traffic.
One of those.
It's a one-lane street. And so they were running out of their car and leaving their car, cars were getting bulldozed so that emergency vehicles could then go up to fight the fires.
Right.
So I remember that was already happening.
Right.
I still naively thought we were fine.
Mm.
And I had a rehearsal
that
was scheduled for 6 o'clock that day. This was on January 7th.
Also, just to pause there, just so people understand who are not as familiar with the LA area, the Palisades is like...
It's very far. Sorry.
No, it's like... I was going to say, it's like 15 miles from where we live, right? From the east side.
I mean, at least. It's about as...
Yeah.
If you're in LA, it's like those are the opposite sides. Yes. So Altadena's super east. Yeah. Palisades is...
West.
By Malibu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's 20
miles, yeah.
Yeah. It's and in LA, 20 miles is like you don't do that.
It's forever.
That's like
2 hours away.
Stay the night.
Yeah.
But so we go back home, and that night Rebecca has a rehearsal.
Yes, I have a rehearsal. I'm like running my lines. I'm, you know, dressed in my costume because my scene partner is about to come over. I ordered pizza that got delivered around 6.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And when my scene partner gets there, like around 6:30, the wind has already picked up significantly.
Yeah.
The roof on our porch is slamming around. Some of the shingles are starting to fly away, and it's really strong.
Well,
and
they're
Chris
large,
and I,
sort of 6-foot corrugated panels, like metal, basically like tin roof panels, and they're flying off. And I'm really nervous they're going to fly off into somebody's backyard. Somebody's going to hit and get hurt by it.
Yeah.
So, and I can't remember when we found out that the Eaton Canyon fire started.
This is what happened. So she rushes in. And we still had power at this point. And she says, the mountain is on fire. You guys are the only ones in Altadena with power. Your power's still on. I just drove up from Pasadena and all of the lights are out. And it almost feels like your block is the only one with power. Mm. And she said, there's a fire. I can see it as I was driving up. And my heart starts pounding. And I just say, okay, well, rehearsal is canceled. Here, have some pizza. I sent her home with pizza.
No, I'll send you an email canceling this rehearsal.
Right.
And she kind of like leaves all frazzled, as all of us were frazzled. And Chris and I look at each other and we're like, okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Here at The Alarmist, we are all very familiar with red flags. Let's say you meet someone for the first time and they're wearing a shirt that says, I love capitalism. Producer Clayton would scream, that's a red flag. As a member of The Alarmy, we can spot these red flags from a mile away. But hear me out for a second. What if we focus more on looking for green flags in friends and partners? Perhaps you run into someone wearing a shirt that says, I love maintenance. That's a green flag for me. But if you're not sure what these look like for you, therapy can help you identify green flags. Not just that, it can also help you embody the green flag energy yourself. Whether you're dating, married, building a relationship, or just working on yourself, it's time to form relationships that love you back. I've been in therapy for over 10 years, and it has been an incredible asset for me. It has given me the tools to navigate through difficult times and has given me positive coping skills when dealing with my anxiety and spiraling. Therapy isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. It's for all of us. BetterHelp is a great resource to get started on your therapy journey. It's fully online, which makes therapy affordable and convenient for over 5 million people worldwide. With BetterHelp, you can access a diverse network of more than 30,000 credentialed therapists with a wide range of specialties. And if you don't feel like you're connecting with your current therapist, you can easily switch to a new one anytime at no extra cost. Discover your relationship green flags with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/alarmist to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/alarmist.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab. Also, on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At 1-800-Flowers.com, we know that connections are at the heart of being human. Whether celebrating life's joys or comforting during tough times, 1-800-Flowers helps you express what words can't. For nearly 50 years, millions have trusted 1-800-Flowers to deliver thoughtful gifts that help create lasting bonds. Because it's more than just a gift. It's your way of showing you care. Visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST and connect today. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Getting engaged can be stressful. Getting the right ring won't be at BlueNile.com. The jewelers at BlueNile.com have sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds and ready to ship to your door. Get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com, code LISTEN for $50 off.
And it was around this time, too, that we downloaded
the Watch Duty app. I think everyone in California downloaded at the same exact time.
I know. It's really the only way that I've been getting any information in real time about the fires. And it wasn't on anyone's radar before, not even the alarmist herself, it sounds like. Because otherwise you were just watching local news or honestly like on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then also just you would get these emergency updates like on your phone through the emergency system, but they don't give you a lot of information.
Mm-hmm. No, there's a way you can look up fires on Google Maps that I was like tracking where the fires were. They'll pop up. But other than that, we didn't have this app. So we download it right away and we start seeing that there are evacuation warnings starting in the east side of Altadena. Now we're on the west side. They kind of divide Altadena by two sides. You're either east of Lake Avenue or west of Lake Avenue. And this will be important later, but east of Lake Avenue, which is closer to Eaton Canyon, which is a popular hiking spot. We've hiked it. Mm-hmm. There's like a waterfall that people hike to. Mm-hmm. And it's about maybe 2.5 miles from our house.
3 miles,
So east of Lake is starting to get evacuated. And there are warnings and evacuation and people are getting put in evacuation zones. And we still had electricity. So Chris and I look at each other. We're like, let's pack our bags while we can still see because it's starting to get dark. It's 6:30.
I think I'm just looking at my text. So I texted you guys at 7. I'm like, are you guys okay with all this wind and fire? Like, I didn't even know what was happening. And then you go, we're okay, but pretty rattled. We think we're heading to Clayton's. There's another fire in Eaton. And then like a couple minutes later, you say at 7:13, just got the evac order.
Right. And that was through the Watch Duty app. And that was an incorrect evacuation.
Oh, yeah. Right. Because then you say, yeesh, it wasn't for us.
Yeah.
But then you say, it's pitch black and we could see the flames from the highway heading to Clayton's, but we'll keep you posted. So you guys left before.
What time was that?
That was at 7:50 that you texted that you were heading to Clay's.
Meanwhile, while this is all happening, I went into a workout class with Mike at 6:30 p.m. We drove there and like the wind was like bad, but it wasn't terrible. And I remember this class was like an hour long. Around like the 6:52 mark, my Apple Watch said I was getting a call from Rebecca. And I was like, that's weird. I wonder why she's calling me now, but I didn't think anything of it. We finished class at like 7:25, got our phones and got this message from her saying, we think we need to evacuate. Like, can we come to your house? And we were like, of course. But we walked outside at like 7:20 and it was night and day. It was like suddenly a tornado had shown up in Pasadena. Like we walk into our car, it was like, we had to hold our hats down. Like we were just blowing away. And I was like, oh, we then were like, we need to race home because the Smiths, you guys are on your way. It took Mike and I 40 minutes to drive from where we go to get home because there were already downed trees, branches, debris everywhere. And we got to our house maybe 5 minutes before the Smiths showed up from Altadena.
Right. Just to check back on text.
Oh, God.
Rebecca texted Clayton and Mike, "Hey, there's a fire near us. We are gathering things. Can we come to you?" This is 6:53 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then 30 minutes passes. So we didn't even get a response to you because you guys were in class.
We were sweating.
And then we told Amanda at 7:13, we're on our way to Clayton's. We didn't even wait to get it.
I was like, I'll just be there. Can you imagine if we were like, nah. I'll tell them we're here.
Have to know, like, because during this time, I'm on this like crazy moms WhatsApp group with like a 1,000 moms, like all in the LA area, and then a couple offshoot groups that are like Pasadena, Altadena moms.
Right.
So during this time, I'm getting all my information now comes from the moms group. So everyone's like, I'm packing bags, and I'm telling Matt, I'm like, the moms are packing bags. Okay. And he's going, you got to get off. Those moms are crazy. Okay. I just start like, I'm just like putting a few overnight things in bags.
Like secretly without Matt noticing.
No, I'm showing him. I'm going, I'm just going to pack in an overnight bag. I don't want to like, you know, in case. And he's not thinking, you know, anything of it. But then we never watched the news, but we turned on the news. And then I think we saw some of it was happening. Because at this point, we were just concerned. We have this huge old Chinese elm in our backyard that the huge branches go over our house, and specifically our bedroom. So we were like, where should we sleep?
Right.
Where should we put the Glenn down to sleep, our little three-year-old? So that was like our major concern, that the tree was going to crush our house or something. We weren't even really at this point thinking the fire would ever
get
down our way.
We drive by your house, Amanda, every day going to and from the gym. And we specifically didn't go that way home from the gym after we came out because we thought there would be so many downed trees. We were afraid.
Yes. And there were, our street, it has so many beautiful trees, but there were a couple of big ones that fell and like blocked the road.
Yep.
But at this point we were not packing to like evacuate because we thought our house was going to burn down. That was like not even in my brain.
Yeah.
Was when you guys were packing, Chris and Rebecca, were you packing thinking our house might not make it, or were you just packing to evacuate?
We were packing to evacuate like for a few days, and I just like literally that night.
Yeah.
I even brought my my costume for the scene the next day. Cause I was like, oh, we're just gonna sleep at Clayton's and then we're gonna go to this class in the next morning. And my scene is going up. So I packed my like little dress that I was gonna wear for the scene. And then we just had like a little rolly suit, like a carry-on suitcase full of stuff. And we put that in the car, and then I kind of looked around and I was like, well, I don't really have a lot of things of great value, you know, per se, you know, other than like computers and your phone or whatever. And I put like a few like items of jewelry in a little bag, and that was it. Oh, there's a funny story actually. So we packed the car. And later on, I'm going to think back on this time and really kick myself for a lot of reasons. Mm. You know, the next day I was, you know, beside myself. But we just packed the car with like a carry-on suitcase, the dog, a few days of, not even days, like a few servings of dog food. And I forgot the dog beds, stuff like that, like dog bowls I forgot to bring. So we were kind of rattled and trying to get out quickly. And then we ran outside and we started to knock on our neighbors' doors. I was texting a few of my neighbors being like, there's a fire, like we're thinking of leaving. There are evacuation warnings because we had just signed up for the Watch Duty app. We didn't know that every time there is an evacuation warning, you get an alert. It's not when it's your time to evacuate that you get the alert. So every time we were getting these alerts, we thought it was for us.
Right.
So we thought, we were a little confused. We still were not under warning, but we were going around telling our neighbors, look, there's a fire. Did you guys know? And a few of them knew. Our next door neighbor, we knock on her on their door, and they're, you know, you could tell they We got them up from the couch, you know.
I mean, you know, they're tucked in for the night.
She was like, oh, no. I was like, did you guys hear about the fire? And she said, no, it's my birthday. We've been not looking at the news. And, you know, I had put my phone away. We're like, well, happy birthday. And also, sorry, there's a fire. You should know about this. And so kind of just making sure, like, people on our block and, like, around us were aware that there was a fire, especially elderly.
Yeah, we have a guy two doors down, Mr. Willie, who is a great guy. Just he's an older guy. You know, he's not downloading the watch app. So
no, right. He doesn't have a cell phone, we found out, because Chris tried to get his number just in case.
So nah, so we just told him. He was like, I got a plan.
His son is in a wheelchair, and so we were like making sure that he had help, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was all set, you know, he was, but yeah, so, in terms of the packing stuff too, just circle back to your question, Amanda, you know, one of the things, like, in reflecting on this was like, you don't really, it's hard to like anticipate what your mental state is going to be when you're kind of packing like that. I remember just feeling frazzled. Yeah. Like Rebecca said, and just kind of like, you know, not sure what to grab. And I took a few items of that would be utilitarian, like underwear, socks kind of thing. And I also took a few personal, like value items. Like I have this blazer that's passed down from my uncle, and I have these bracelets that my little nephew made, and I just made sure and grabbed those. And then I was like, I have three or four winter coats, and I grabbed the one I like the most.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, you think about that, but like Rebecca said, when we had time to reflect, it was like hard. I don't know if there's like an alarmist lesson in here, but like maybe there's a notes app you can make or something.
Yeah.
It's like a list of things to pack in the case of an emergency, like, or if you have a few 5 minutes to pack, you know, think about it ahead of time. Because there were hard drives that we left in the garage.
I left photos,
you know, that kind of thing. But somebody said the three P's, papers, photos, and people,
passport,
papers and,
right?
And photos and passports or whatever.
Right. That's part of papers.
Papers or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen lists like that floating around since the fires happened, but it makes you go like, oh, this is why you should be organized. Mm-hmm. So like all your valuables are in like one box that you can just pull down, because it's like we have a lot of our stuff stored like up in the attic. So we weren't necessarily going to pull any of that down, you know, so it does make you think like keep at least a few things in a little bin in your closet that you can
quickly grab.
Mm-hmm.
I while we were outside with neighbors, and this is the last thing my Ring camera recorded in front of our house, was we had left the house locked up, and then we were talking to neighbors, and then while I was talking to them, I realized I forgot my Dyson hair dryer, which I have, which is like probably actually the most expensive thing I own. And I ran back into the house.
Just
for the Dyson. So the last thing the camera caught was me leaving my house, fleeing the fire with my Dyson.
And your hair looks great.
So it looks really good.
I would never know you've just survived a huge disaster.
Insert Dyson ad here.
Yeah, it felt like you guys were packing for like an inconvenient day or two of not being able to get back to your house because there was an evacuation order, not because there were going to be decimated home after home.
Right.
So that night we were stressed because we could see the fire from Clayton's house, and we could start, we could smell the smoke, we could see the smoke, but we all kind of decided to go to bed. And, you know, I had my phone on next to me, and
you could see the glow of the fire from our terrace, which seems scary because it's even further away from us, but it still felt like that was like a mountain problem, not a neighborhood problem.
Yeah. But as the night was progressing, the evacuation orders kept going farther east and east, and we're on the west side. So we felt okay. I mean, it was still very scary because it was still very, very close. And, you know, those are also like heavily populated areas. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, I was like, this is going to stay on the mountain as other fires have in the past. They all just stay on the mountain and it's horrible. And it really burns all the vegetation, but it doesn't ever go down to like the property.
But I will say, man, Mike and I looked at each other. I remember so distinctly that night. And we said to each other, I was like, if the winds are going to keep up the way they are right now, this fire is going to explode. And know what I mean? Like, and he was like, yeah, that's what I think too. And like, I just remember because the calculus of that was just so simple to me that it was just like the fire was going at this rate and the wind was so intense.
Yeah.
That there was just like no way to stop it.
No.
And it was going to spread so far and so fast, which is.
And that's how we went to bed with a glow in the background. Our house was creaking and shaking. The winds were really intense. And it was like, we just got to wait until tomorrow.
Yeah. And then the next thing that happens, it's 3:30 a.m. And I get a very loud alert on my phone that says it's time to evacuate. It's at 3:30. And I was like, so glad I was not home at that time.
Right.
Because I can't imagine the fear and panic that all of our neighbors went through at that time.
Right.
And that's when I knew that this was bad, because this whole time the wind had been taking the fire up the mountain to the east. But if they were evacuating our area, which was on the west side, it meant that something had turned. The wind had changed. Something was going on. And, well, the next morning it was like everyone's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
The next morning we wake up and it's all terrible.
Yeah, there's incoming. Like, all I remember was the night was filled with, like, incoming notifications from our Ring app and our
Watch Duty
app all night, just beep beep, Amber alerts, whatever. And like, it was a restless night. I remember Clayton has in his guest room and all around the house, he's on the sort of house is on the edge of this like ravine, and there are these big beautiful glass like doors and windows. And I just remember the smoke like penetrating through these triple paned glass windows.
And they were shaking too. The glass was shaking.
Yeah. So was just like plumes of smoke like entering into the house through like the cracks of these doors. So it was like this crazy restless night where, and you know, that we find out in the morning that was smoke from the Eaton Canyon fire, which had started to consume Altadena.
And when we woke up that morning, I'll never forget, it was orange. It was like the skies were, it felt like we had woken up in a active war zone. Yeah. You couldn't see the sky. It was smoky. The sun was like, had that orange glow trying to get through everything. And it felt really like a very different energy. Yeah.
Matt woke me up at like 6 a.m. and miraculously Glenn slept through the night that night. When normally she does not. So she like sleeping, best sleep of her life. And he was like, the fire is getting closer to the freeway, which is like the thing that divides Pasadena from Altadena. And he's like, I think we should go. Cause there was like a pre-vac zone and an evac zone. And the pre-vac zone was like, we were like, I don't know, like under a mile from the pre-vac zone. And we thought it's just going to keep creeping down. It never ended up getting to our area, thank God. But we just spent the next couple hours like packing up our cars. Cause at this point we were like, holy shit, like it's destroying Altadena, and like very concerned for you guys and our other friends who live in Altadena. So we ended up packing up and we just like booked it down to Long Beach that afternoon. Cause the air was so it was horrible. So yeah, we went to my mom's in Long Beach.
Yeah.
And Clayton, Mike, you guys packed a bag because we were like, well,
we packed a bag that morning.
Highland Park. Yeah.
We woke up and Mike was like, okay, we need to, because we were kind of similar to you, Amanda. Like we were on, like right on the border of like a evacuation zone. So it was mm-hmm. like, we're still kind of like, you know, be ready, but like, it wasn't mandatory. But Mike was like, we got to pack something. And I, you know, Chris, to like your earlier point, felt weird. I was like, of course we're going to pack, but I felt like kind of like stubbornly resistant to wanting to do that exercise. Not because I was like, it's not a threat, but it was just like, I don't want to like, it felt like acknowledging how real this was getting in a way. So yeah. like, right. and like, obviously I did it and we had a pack bag ready to go, but I didn't like having to go through that exercise. It felt like emotionally heavier than it felt like it should have, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you guys were
point,
in our house. I was like, imagine asking you guys to leave again. You had just come to our house. I'm like, hey guys, where do we go? And we were looking, remember, we were all looking for hotels to like go to right. just in
we
case.
We were going to go to Long Beach or somewhere like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And at that point, I felt like I was starting not to have a nervous breakdown, but I was, an anxious mess because we were, you know, we're starting to look at the news, we're watching the news. And at one point, I think this was around like 10 in the morning, they start to air the news from the corner of our house.
Yes.
Like from the corner of our block. And they kept saying our cross streets.
Right.
And I was like, and it was on fire. And
they were, I will never forget, because they were on your corner, which is like six houses away, and they were facing south. So they weren't facing right. the direction of your house. And it was, everything was on fire.
Yeah.
But there was still that kind of like weird hope of like, well, maybe they'll turn around and the northern side of the street won't look like that, you know, but like, it was insane that and they were the on house, your corner. Like, what
they
are
were
the
on our corner.
All
these
of
are
Altadena.
The... Yeah, these are the corners. This is the these were the houses that we walk our dogs by every single day. And I could recognize these houses. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, that's so-and-so's house. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. And then our neighbor, one of our front door neighbors is interviewed by the news, by KTLA News. And we're like, oh my God, that's him. And he had stayed back to try and save houses. And he goes, and I just remember him saying, I was trying to save my neighbor's house. I tried to use the water from his pool, but it was too late. It was gone. It's gone. And he goes, it's time for me to go. Mm-hmm. And I know what neighbor he's talking about, because there's only one neighbor on our block who has a pool on, and that's two doors down from us. Mm-hmm. So
was this the first point where you were going like, it could be gone, all of it? Or that morning where you already...
I was for sure. No, that was the moment when I saw our neighbor on the news saying that he was calling it. I was like, it's over. Mm-hmm. That our house is gone.
Yeah, we were pretty well certain it was gone.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch or Tap, also on them.
Service plan required for Watch or Tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Raj Punjabi from HuffPost.
And I'm Noah Michelson, also from HuffPost.
And we're the hosts of Am I Doing It Wrong? A new podcast that explores the all-too-human anxieties we have about trying to get our lives right.
Each week on the podcast, Raj and I pick a new topic that we want to understand better and bring a guest expert on to talk us through how to get it right.
And we're talking like legit, credible experts, doctors, PhDs, all-around superheroes.
From HuffPost and Acast Studios, check out Am I Doing It Wrong? Wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. At that point, to your point, Amanda, before that, I was like, I think we're going to be okay. We're really far south and west, you know, we're going to be maybe right. Our neighborhood is going to be hit. But when we saw KTLA on the corner where we were at, I was like, there's just no way. I mean, there's just no way our house survives. But amazingly.
Yeah, this is an amazing twist.
That is like for the record books. Rebecca gets a call.
So we're sitting with this information for, I would say, a few hours.
Oh yeah, there had been crying at this point. There had been big emotion, lots of anxiety. It was a high stress environment of four people and five dogs.
Oh my God! Yeah.
The dog just picking up on all that.
Yes,
totally.
And then I get a call from someone in the production office at work. And I was like, that's weird. Why would they be calling me right now? All of Los Angeles knows that there's a disaster happening. Right. Like, why would work call? And then they call again. I send it to voicemail and then they call again. And I pick up this time. And it's someone from the production office who says, there's a man at your house and he's trying to save your car. And I was like, what? And he says, I don't know. He said that he got my number from your work badge that I had left inside my car. So in order for us to go into work, I have a vehicle pass and it doesn't have my phone number on it. It has the production office phone number. So
he said, do you want me to patch you through? And Rebecca said, yes. So before we know it, we're on the phone and on the other line is a guy who's at our house, near our house, and is saying that our car is still there and that our house is still there.
But he's trying to save it. He's trying to move my car. He wanted me to like turn it. You know how some people can turn on their cars from their phone?
Mm-hmm.
He wanted me to turn it on so that he could move it onto the street.
Put it out into the street where it's less likely to catch fire.
But I was like, I can't do that. Can you send me a picture? And he goes on to send us this picture of our house with all of the houses around it.
In flames. Yeah,
on fire.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this guy proceeds to... you know, we're like exchanging texts with him, but what he proceeds to do is using, because the hoses, using hoses and when the hoses went out, using 3 gallon water jugs, which we have delivered to our house and we use for water, which I just out of laziness left out on our front porch, using those jugs. And a gift Amanda got for us, which is a Sub-Zero
like a thermos.
like a large thermos, like for a kid's soccer match that you hit with the spout at the
which
bottom.
Which was
a weird, gift for
but
me
thank
for my
you.
Birthday.
She knew.
Yeah, she knew. I love to give gifts.
He proceeded to pour the water from the water jugs into the Sub-Zero cooler and douse out the fire that was around our house, approaching our house. One was in our shed, which is right behind our garage. And another was our gate on the left side, on the north side of our house, yeah, that was connecting to the house that burned down. So the house that was on fire at the time he did this. So this good Samaritan, we've since been in contact and is very blasé about the whole thing. He's like, yeah, good timing. What can you do? We're like, sir, you saved our house.
I know.
We're indebted to you. He basically saved our house. And we think it was because of his intervention. And around that time, which was the afternoon, the winds started to die down.
Yeah.
The winds, which were crazy the night before and early that morning, they kind of died down by the afternoon. So the embers weren't mm-hmm. flying from house to house like they were for the first part of the fire. So those two events basically saved our home.
Yeah.
It is so crazy.
Crazy.
The it's chances so of it. Crazy. Yeah.
I remember you kind of put that in a text because you were like, we think we lost everything. And then like later it was like, our house is still there. And I was like, have you been? How do you know? And Rebecca just writes like that story, but like in four sentences. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
The hell? That's insane. And then like your house and your neighbor's house are like the only houses still standing, right? In your neighborhood.
So on our block, on our side of the street, it's just those two houses. And, and one a little further down. North. Who lost the garage, but our, you know, on our side, like everything, it is, it's hard to explain how devastating, this is because we are very friendly people. And after COVID, we kind of made it, we just became friends and friendly with all of our neighbors. And so we know everyone who lives in all of these houses. And as we were going down the block, thinking of every family who had totally lost everything. And it wasn't just one block. It's all of the streets around us. When it's hard for us to explain. It's like it is our house is one of the only houses that is still there. For an unknown, it is an unknown mm-hmm. reason. There's no logic to it. Fire doesn't care who you are. Mm-hmm. It will just go down the block and take everything it can. And there are just like these random houses that it just skipped over.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what it feels like when you're driving by there.
So it was to like, as you put it really well, it was a lot of, you have this like feeling of guilt, you have this feeling of relief, you know, you have this feeling of just heartbroken devastation for your neighbors and your neighborhood, which is such a huge part of who we are. Is this neighborhood. We love it up in Altadena. It's like our little getaway from LA, like the wild LA, you know what I mean? With all that comes with. And you love it because the people are like, they're just great people. Mm-hmm. It's a diverse group of people, generationally, racially. But everyone's just sweet as can be. It's very artsy too. There's a lot of like visual artists. There's a lot of people who are like crew members within the industry.
It's working
writers,
class,
editors,
you know, it's
teachers.
Everything.
There's just so many wonderful people there. And this is why we love it so much. So like when we found out our house, like to kind of circle back, I think to when we found out our house had survived, like we were so relieved and like there was this tremendous relief, but at the same point there was this like heartache that was like, why us? Why did this happen to us? And also like, what is a house in a neighborhood that no longer exists? Like, what's the point of a house in a neighborhood in the where there's no neighborhood there? So all of those feelings were like, and we're still dealing with those feelings, but that was part of the kind of soup of feelings that we were kind of going through as this was sort of unfolding.
I think this might actually be a really good place to stop because I remember learning your house survived and I was like, thank God, so relieved. And then I think together, everyone in your position and everyone surrounding them started to realize like, it's actually not so clear cut. There is a lot now that you're having to deal with. you know, it's really the aftermath of this disaster. And there's people who have houses who were miraculously saved who are going to have to just tear down their houses.
Yeah. Right.
So there's now a lot now to discuss about like where you're at now and the steps that you're going to have to take moving forward and like everyone in your position. So maybe that would be something you guys can discuss on Thursday along with the Q&A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for being so open about that. It's all still so fresh, but I just know that the Alarmy is like so grateful for you for giving them such a thorough update because you've been top of everyone's mind, I'm certain of. And I think there's also something to be said just for posterity. I mean, we have all, but specifically you guys being in the eye of the storm, have just lived through a true disaster.
Yeah.
And it's hard to even understand that right now because it's like less than a month ago. Mm-hmm, not it was like 3 weeks ago.
Weeks,
I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
I don't even know. We're all so disoriented. But yeah, I think there's something to be said for kind of like going through the timeline, you know, as you start to come to terms with this. So I hope that you feel good about sharing all of that with your listeners, because if anyone's going to empathize, it's this community that you created.
Yeah. I think that I think a part of me is still in shock. And I think in a few years after, hopefully our community is back, you know, we're going to look back on this and maybe even listen to this and be like, oh my God, they had no idea what was in store, you know?
Right.
Right.
Well, thanks for being here with us now, Amanda, just to kind of like talk it out and witness and listen ask questions.
Thanks for letting me hold space. Okay, now I'll go away forever after saying that.
The Alarmist is now on Patreon. Subscribe and get ad-free content along with bonus episodes. Go to patreon.com/thealarmist or check out the link in our show description. Visit our website, www.thealarmistpodcast.com. And follow us on Instagram @TheAlarmistPodcast and on Twitter @AlarmistThe. You can also send us your thoughts via email to thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Today's episode was produced and engineered by Clayton Early, with editing by Molly Hockey and fact-checking by Chris Smith. Thank you to our associate producer and researcher, Crystal Dinsberg. The Alarmist is executive produced by Rebecca Delgado Smith. The Alarmist.
Powered by Acast.
Este es el mejor momento de ahorrar en Verizon porque puedes llevarte hasta 4 teléfonos nuevos. Es muy fácil. Imagínate todo lo que vas a poder hacer con un teléfono nuevo. Este es tu momento de ahorrar. Visita tu tienda Verizon y llévate hasta 4 teléfonos. ¡Sí, 4 teléfonos! Al intercambiar 4 teléfonos de nuestras mejores marcas, cualquier condición, con líneas nuevas en Unlimited Ultimate, se aplican términos de intercambio y otros términos. Solo en Verizon.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
Hi, I'm Raj Punjabi from HuffPost.
And I'm Noah Michelson, also from HuffPost.
And we're the hosts of Am I Doing It Wrong?, a new podcast that explores the all-too-human anxieties we have about trying to get our lives right.
Each week on the podcast, Raj and I pick a new topic that we want to understand better and bring a guest expert on to talk us through how to get it right.
And we're talking like legit, credible experts, doctors, PhDs, all-around superheroes.
From HuffPost and Acast Studios, check out Am I Doing It Wrong? Wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, friends, to the Playful Scratch from the California Lottery. We've got a special guest today, the Scratcher Scratch Master himself, Juan. Juan, you've mastered 713 playful ways to scratch. Impressive. How'd you do it?
Well, I began with a coin, then tried a guitar pick. I even used a cactus once.
I can scratch with anything. Even this mic right here.
See? See?
Well, there you have it. Scratchers are fun no matter how you scratch. Scratchers from the California Lottery. A little play can make your day. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player claim.